Well, good evening, everybody. It's a little bit late here, but it looks like there's time to do one more program. And we are on program 06A, which is from the beginning of the book, Externalization of the Hierarchy. And basically, this is done on the 29th, and 05A ended on the 28th. So we're moving on to this sense of urgency. From this sense of urgency, the Tibetan is describing the possibilities for us. Can we meet them? And of course, this was done in the mid-30s, 1934, and he gave everybody who read it, and presumably among them many members of the new group of world servers, 2 years to accomplish what he suggested. After that point, it would not be possible. So this is called A Challenging Opportunity, from April 1935. During the Waysak Festival this year, those who are seeking to lift humanity nearer to the light and to expand the consciousness of mankind will be gathering their forces for a renewed approach and its inevitable consequences. These consequences are the stimulation of the human family to a fresh spiritual effort, the process and the exalted personnel involved have been described by me in my previous message, and that's in A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology. Okay. So we understand that the working being done is by very exalted beings, masters presumably, and initiates, and there has been a hope at that time that some kind of inevitable war could be avoided. DK has not mentioned that very much right now, but certainly in retrospect he did. Okay, now these exalted personnel, they will also bring about the strengthening of the new group of world servers so that they can work with greater effectiveness, vision the plan with greater clarity, and within themselves as a group, bring about greater integration. And thus they can aid in carrying out the plans of the Council of the Hierarchy to meet the immediate human need, or rather the immediate human emergency. As I told you before, the plans for humanity are not laid down, for humanity determines its own destiny. The effort is directed towards establishing a closer relationship between humanity and hierarchy. Okay, so, you know, there is some advantage in viewing the historical perspective, and we do see from it how humanity has chosen. And maybe we can learn from those choices, because I think in many ways, we face similar choices today. Materialism is rampant, and people are valuing money over lives. I guess it's always been that way somehow. When wars are fought, they are so often fought these days for financial advantage and to protect the resources, the money of those who direct the countries that are warring with each other. Sometimes there are fanatical ideals that are involved in wars. Hitler brought that, but he also had a keen eye for the resources of other nations, which he wanted to appropriate on behalf of Germany. Anyway, the new group of world servers had just been basically founded or brought to outer attention in the 1930s, and here at this WASAC 35, there is the attempt to strengthen the new group of world servers. Yeah, I'll just kind of bring that a little bit stronger. Now still, of course, we have the new group of world servers, and it has, maybe it's not always called that, maybe it's just called by some world servers. And there are, I think, many, many more members of that subjective body than at the time of this writing some 85 years ago. Okay. It is possible for all aspirants and disciples to participate in this effort to the extent of rendering the task of the masters easier by their clarity of thinking, their renewed spiritual effort, and the rededication of themselves to the task of service. To this effort, I call you. It is a continuing effort which will be spread over many years. And maybe, you know, even now we are still in the enhancement of that effort. The opportunity will be offered to all true servers and aspirants, and above all, to the new group of world servers to participate in the establishing of the necessary momentum in the immediate cycle. But some kind of continued growth of the world servers has to be anticipated. And we are in a period now when they are sorely needed. So, what are DK's requests or demands here? Well, maybe we can't call them demands, but strong suggestions. I call you, therefore, to a month of inner silence, of introspective thought, of self-control, and of meditation, to self-forgetfulness and attentiveness to opportunity, and not to your own inner aspiration to achieve. So it's a selfless kind of period. It's quiet. It's filled with aspiration, but not on one's own behalf. I call you to concentrate upon the world need for peace. Now here he's really entering the issue, because the possibility of the precipitation of a coming war certainly could be foreseen by the masters. So I call you to concentrate upon the world need for peace, mutual understanding, and illumination, and to forget utterly your own needs, mental, emotional, and physical. That's often a difficult task. I call you to prayer and to fasting. We're told the work goes forward through prayer and fasting. I call you to prayer and to fasting, though along what lines your abstinence should go is for you to decide. For the 5 days of meditation, I guess, you know, looking at the period around the full moon is a 5-day period. Well, later it was also discussed as a 7-day period and sometimes a 3-day period. For the 5 days of meditation, I call you to a more complete fasting, to a grave silence. I suppose this means anything but superficial, as deep as possible, as serious as possible, to an inner focalization, to a purity of thought, and to an active spirit of loving kindness, which will make you a pure channel, loving kindness, the, in a way, motto of Maitreya, makes us pure channels for the higher needed energies. Thus will the work of the hierarchy be facilitated and the door opened to the regenerative forces of those extraplanetary beings who offer their help at this time, and particularly during 1936. Now you begin to wonder, who are these extraplanetary beings? Are they the spirit of peace? Are they the avatar of synthesis? Are they various planetary logoi who have representatives within Shambhala, particularly during 1936? The response of this festival will submit a gauge of opportunity for the guidance of the great ones. And here in parenthesis, this theme is developed in the book, A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology. And it's a healthy number of pages, something like 122 pages here, which contains the writings from May 1935 to April 1938 inclusive. So this is Master DK's importunate request. He's importuning us, or those at that period, to develop these attitudes, or at least to express these attitudes, because they probably are already developed. The world need for peace, and to forget utterly your own needs. Mutual understanding, and to forget utterly your own needs, mental, emotional, and physical. It's in the attitude of the right kind of self-forgetfulness that one can become a purer channel for the redeeming energies. They must come through us, and we must demonstrate them. A more complete fasting, grave silence, inner focalization, purity of thought, an active spirit of loving kindness. All of this will make of us really useful, and we cannot forget it now either. I think there will be, well, this is the year 2020, there will be a crescendo of difficulty within the human race, both individually and nationally and internationally, I think. Because, you know, the closer the light, the greater the dark. And the light of the great conclave is impending. Now, if you look back to the 1920s, well, the war had completed, or at least that phase of it, and the roaring 20s entered with all of the superficiality and the sort of will to forget what humanity had just been through. We can't succumb to that kind of thing. And, you know, the pandemic of these times is not letting us succumb to frivolity, even though we see the tendency very often on the part of the young people who, you know, believe they are immortal in their present form, to ignore the sage advice of those who know better about public safety and public health. Well, anyway, the situation is so serious that even when politics enter and a lack of consideration of real values is prevalent, the factors perhaps released by Sanat Kumara do force themselves upon the consciousness of even the most politically divisive people. And they find they have to, retreat from putting politics first. Well, that's kind of a little, you know, parenthetical insert here from the year 2020. If anybody ever gets to this in a future year. One practical thing also I will ask of you, he says, will you say each night and morning with all your heart's desire and with the attention of your mind as well, the following words, their united saying, will set up a rhythm and a momentum of great potency. And, you know, so here we have these words of power, these great stanzas that we know as the series of great invocations. Let the forces of light bring illumination to mankind. Let the spirit of peace be spread abroad. May men of goodwill everywhere meet in a spirit of cooperation. May forgiveness on the part of all men be the keynote at this time. Let power attend the efforts of the great ones. So let it be and help us to do our part. Well, it's not that even now we use only the last of the great invocations or the last stanza from the point of light, etc. We use them all and must continue to do so. These words sound simple, but the forces of light is a name for certain new powers which are being invoked by the hierarchy at this time, whose potencies can be brought into great activity at the May full moon if due effort is made. Well, the forces of enlightenment are placed between the forces of restoration and the forces of reconstruction. So they are found at the May full moon, the forces of light, the forces of enlightenment, and if we think that hierarchy is invoking them, they must be high indeed. I think in Discipleship in the New Age, volume two, there is an explanation of how high they really are. The spirit of peace, which is invoked as an interplanetary agent of great power, whose cooperation has been promised if all aspirants and disciples can cooperate through the shell, to break through the shell of separation and hatred which holds our planet in thrall. So this is a point. This spirit of peace is an interplanetary agent, not simply a resident of Shambhala. It may work in connection with Shambhala now, but interplanetary. There are a number of these interplanetary avataric beings. So this is the first mention here of at least one of the members of the triangle, which is even now, we imagine, surrounding the Christ, the avatar of synthesis, the spirit of peace, and of course the Lord Buddha. So we as aspirants and disciples must cooperate to break through the shell of separation and hatred which holds our planet in thrall, in prison. And we do know that the hatred was increasing. It was fanned. It was fed. You know, in very disgusting ways, through the Axis powers, and especially through Germany. Yeah. So we must not underestimate the power of this stanza of the three great invocations. Maybe we can call the different sections, as in invocation number three that we use now, we can call them verses, perhaps. Okay. May I therefore close with these simple words. Please give us your aid, my brothers. Well, here is a master, a great teacher, requesting in the most earnest manner our aid. So, you know, we're not inclined, I hope, to refuse it. And even though this is 85 years ago, we must assume that his words still ring. Please give us your aid, my brothers. And certainly we can do that by continuing to spread his teaching and see that it is assimilated in preparation for his third installment of teaching, and we can do it by strengthening the hands of the new group of world servers wherever we find them. Somehow we can work subjectively, perhaps. And when we see someone who is really working on behalf of the upliftment of humanity, then indeed we work to strengthen their hands. Now, the next section is about the new groups. And I think it may take us all the way to the place where I actually began this book. And, you know, when we look in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, we see more about these groups. So we're going to learn quite a bit, I think, about them. I'm kind of, you know, scrolling through this, and I hope it doesn't make you dizzy. Maybe it's making me a little dizzy. The work of the C groups. Yes, all of this is about the C groups and the new group efforts that will be filled or constituted of the members of the new group of world servers, not all of them, you know, occultists by any means, or even students of occultism, but all of them working properly to lift humanity along different lines. So, yes, it goes to page 61. And I think that it would be best, even though this is a very short program, that we esoteric schools and right. I think it would be best for us to keep this intact and end our particular program, even if it's just a half hour now, end it, and then begin with our new subject, a fascinating subject, about a project going on pretty much until the year 2200. It's a 275-year project. And so we might think that when the ashrams, many of them, move to the Buddhic plane, starting with an impulse, I would say, at the Great Conclave of 1925, the seeds of this seed group project were sown. And now we've been with it for not quite 100 years, and another 175 years or so does remain. So, you know, many of us will find ourselves working within these particular groups. You know, when I think of the University of the Seven Rays and the Moria Federation, we are working in the field of education particularly, and we educate on all of these seed groups, and we use as much of the new psychology as may be possible. And we cannot really participate the kind of groups that we are in the political arena, at least exoterically, nor in the scientific research, although occasionally some people may be involved in it, nor in the economic area, which is C group number 9. We'll have to leave C group number 10 as a kind of a synthesis, leave it aside, because as we'll see, it will have representatives from all of the C groups. But when it comes to the telepathic workers, the observers of reality, number 2, the esoteric healers, yes, the educators, number 4, the religious workers, number 6, and the psychologists, number 8, there I think groups like ours with the University of the Seven Rays and the Moria Federation pursuing their normal goals are closer to those other groups, maybe more on the soft line as far as rays are concerned. But still, the education regarding the nature of these groups, that we can undertake, that we can somewhat handle, and help to spread the word on them. I think Meditation Mount used to have particularly work with what's called the specialized groups. That's what they called it. I attended a number of their conferences when those conferences were being held, and the discussions regarding the specialized groups were very interesting, I thought. I was always interested in this part of the work. So here we are. This is basically 24 to 26. We haven't done much, but we've dealt with the last essay of this kind before getting into the C groups. And it's called A Challenging Opportunity. Well, we know the opportunity was there. Its seizing was not entirely successful. Who's to say how successful it was? So often DK says, you know, much more has been done than you can imagine. And the readers of my books are many more than you know, or that you can estimate. So from 24 to 26. And we'll begin with the seventh program. And I imagine, you know, that in the beginning of the book here, there'll be about 12 to 14 programs regarding the beginning, yes, that I did not undertake before. And then if one chooses to use the video or the audio for the beginning of the book, one can start with 01A and go on. And then when we reach the page 61, we can start with program 1, program 2, program 3, and so forth, up until the 93rd program, which closes off this treatment of the book. I would say that we should be in a position, having read it and intending to study it carefully, to serve with greater effectiveness than heretofore has been possible. Okay, friends, so a short one this time, and we will proceed. You know, I have hopes. I don't know in what order you may listen to all this. If you do get to this kind of videoing and listening, or at least studying the videos, but I hope to do, you know, comment on some other books. I realize, of course, it's obvious that what the master says is of the greatest importance, far more important than what I can possibly say, but I can provide maybe some links between presented items of information, and those links may result in an increase of light flashing forth. And so it may result in a unification of our understanding of the great body of work which Master DK has so far produced, guiding Madame Blavatsky in The Secret Doctrine. I don't know about Isis Unveiled. Certainly working in the most effective ways over 30 years with Alice Bailey. But, you know, it's one thing to read these things and another thing to see the whole teaching as a unified presentation, because there are many additional books within the books presented. But that requires us to put the information together, maybe under the impulse of inclusive reason, or maybe pure reason. We can study in such a way that the many items of information become unified, closely, more closely related than we had imagined. And so some sense of the great science of relationship will arise in connection with the teaching. In the beginning, you know, you might just read all these different books and have a lot of stray items of information floating around your mind and not be able to put them together, not be able to link them. But it's my hope that some small amount of linking, a very mercurial thing, I think, can occur as a result of these videos and the elaboration that occurs as a result of the commentary. Okay, lots of love, many blessings, and we'll see you again for the seed groups in the New Age, a fascinating subject, and one which will help orient our rightful service. We all want to serve. It's just a question of where and how. We can't do everything. How can we best serve? Best serve at this time. Maybe the seed group work will give us an idea about that. And certainly Master DK has told us that the spread of goodwill through world goodwill and the triangles work must go on. So we have, you know, big hints right there. And then the most important thing of all is to prepare men's minds and hearts for the reappearance of the Christ and the externalization of the hierarchy, and have it make sense to people who at first cannot fathom the rationality of spiritual occultism. It's our job to educate in such a way that it all is seen in its full rational beauty and normality. Okay, see you soon then, and we'll resume, I hope, tomorrow, you know, I hope so. Bye-bye.